Amen. What a sweet and tender truth that is. Amen. And sweet and tender, it goes right with the theme of what I'm preaching today. I asked Miranda and Evelyn if they would sing that song today. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is Our Good Shepherd. And I like to think of Jesus as a shepherd. I like to think of him as our Father. And I like to sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. Don't you? Jesus loves us, and he wants to lead us, and I hope that the passage that we're going to look at today will be a blessing to you. Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I was thinking, Brother Peter, that said that the children's home there in the Philippines by a Nihon. Now, when I first moved here, I couldn't say it either. I was reading missionary letters, and I don't know how I was pronouncing it, but Pastor McLean afterwards, he said, come here. He said, you know what that car Nissan is? I said, yeah, Nissan. He goes, well, this is by a Nissan, only take the S out. I'm like, by a Nihon, and I haven't forgot that since. So there you go, by a Nihon Children's Home. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I was thinking of that little boy that was dropped off there, and parents either couldn't or didn't want the child, and was raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, thanks to generous givers and the provision of the Lord to have that children's home, and now is growing up and serving the Lord. And we can pray for him. He's 19 years old and going out in the world, and pray that he will seek the Lord and his will for his life and all the other countless children as well. We also are privileged to be involved with the North Country Children's Home in Cambodia. And that's Brother Lynn Crow's ministry there. And I was at the family conference in Richmond Hill last weekend when he preached and told stories about how God has provided for that ministry. And it's nothing shy of miraculous. When God wants something done, he has no problem making it happen. It's our faith in his ability. And we need to have faith in what God can do. One of the things we see over and over in the Gospel of John, and I hope you've noticed by now, is that Jesus often uses physical situations to draw attention or direct people to a spiritual reality that they need to consider. So when you think of God becoming a man, God taking on human flesh, we see the ultimate example of God revealing himself in a way that people can know him and can put their trust in him, the spiritual reality shown through the physical. So the Lord uses physical situations to direct our focus to spiritual things, and he's done that many times in the book of John. I'll just list a few. Being born again. So he compares, obviously, to Nicodemus when he poses that question. How can a man be born when he is old? He's talking about a physical thing, but pointing it to a spiritual reality. Springs of water, or when he's speaking to the woman at the well, springs of living water, a physical attached to a spiritual thing. Bread. He is the bread from heaven. He is the bread of life, a physical thing drawing our attention to a physical need. Physically blind leads to the spiritual, or at least directs us to think of the spiritually blind condition. So this is all throughout the book of John and other portions of scripture as well. So today we're going to look at the shepherd. The shepherd is the physical that is pointing to a spiritual need that we all have. And we're going to look at the shepherd today and pray that the Lord will help us understand that he is the good shepherd. He says that, I am the good shepherd. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that phrase, I am the, and perhaps in your mind right now, you can think of other places where he used that phrase. This is the third of seven times in John alone, I am the good shepherd. So he says in chapter 6 and verse 35, I am the bread of life. He says in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. In verse 11 of chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. He says in verse 7, I am the door. Verse 25 of chapter 11, we studied this last week, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And John chapter 15, I am the true vine. So the testimony of the Gospel of John is written so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We talked about that in John chapter 21 as sort of the theme for the Gospel of John. And we rejoice when people like the blind man receive their sight, but not just physical sight. They see Jesus and believe upon Jesus and have their eyes opened and see Jesus for who he was. In this section, we have another example that helps us know and trust the Lord, a shepherd. A shepherd. What a beautiful picture a shepherd provides for you and I as his sheep. The shepherd is someone we can look to, someone we can lean upon, someone we can depend on. Sheep are dependent upon their shepherd, aren't they? And there's quite a lot of visuals that we can draw from the actual farmer and sheep relationship, or shepherd and sheep relationship. The people in Bible times would have very clearly understood and very much appreciated the care a good shepherd has for the sheep. And this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to consider who Jesus is and put their trust in him. The shepherd-sheep relationship was well known throughout Bible. We could, in fact, here in just a little bit, we'll look at some of the references in the Old Testament that speak to that, but just coming to mind right now is Psalms 23, verse 1, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So this morning, we're going to look at following the good shepherd. So with that in mind, let's look at verse 1 now of John chapter 10. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And we can understand that for a second. What is he talking about? And Jesus often told parables, and then he interpreted or gave the explanation. So he switches a little bit in what he says here. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Verse 12 says, But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he's an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There was a division, therefore, among the Jews, or often was, for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Okay. So lots of things there. Did you notice the claim to deity that Jesus said there? That I can lay my life down, I can take it up again. This is something, too, that's really quite different from a typical shepherd. A shepherd will risk his life. David, as a shepherd boy, risks his life by fighting the lion and the other threats. But Jesus not only fights, he literally, voluntarily lays down his life for the sheep. I want to share with you some reasons this morning why we should follow Jesus as our shepherd. Number one is because he is the true shepherd. He is the true shepherd. Jesus uses the physical. He uses what they can see to point to a spiritual need, to help them understand, to help them trust and believe that that Jesus is the shepherd. They must believe he is who he says he is, namely, the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd. And this is in contrast to thieves and robbers, which when Jesus talks about them that have come before, there was, you know, quite a lot that would pretend to be a so-called Messiah. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. The sheepfolds that the scripture is talking about in verse 10 is kind of like an area where many families would bring their sheep together for safekeeping. It would have a structure around it or a fence around it, and they would hire a porter or a doorkeeper or an under-shepherd that would sort of be able to keep an eye on the confined sheep. So that's what he's saying here. So when the shepherd would come, the porter would know who the shepherd was and let them in and let them have access. If people wanted to get to the sheep in some other way, they were going to have to break in or jump over the fence or sneak somehow, climbing over the wall. So they were the illegitimate people that were trying to distract the sheep, take the sheep, profit from the sheep. A good example of that could be found in Matthew chapter 23. If you have time to read that, it will sort of shed some light, because it describes how the scribes and the Pharisees essentially set themselves up as the authority of Moses. That's essentially what they were calling themselves. And Matthew 23 goes on to talk about how they've placed themselves in the rightful or in a position of authority that was not theirs. And they have entered to get access to the sheep in some other way. And they were laying heavy burdens and grievous things upon the sheep. And Matthew 23 talks about devouring widows' houses, and they're functioning like thieves and robbers. All of this because they do not genuinely care for the sheep. They don't genuinely have concern for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am legit. I am the shepherd. I've been sent from the Father. I have come in the right way. Will you have eyes to see and believe who I say I am? Here's the proof. He is recognized by his sheep. With several families keeping their sheep in one place together, how do the shepherds gather their sheep? Well, they respond to his voice. How many of you have actually literally seen sheep respond to the voice of their shepherd or their keeper? It's actually kind of a really cool thing. Where I grew up in Ponca City, Oklahoma, there was a sheep farmer in the church, and we could all scream and yell. We'd go out to his farm. We could say, hey, sheep, sheep, sheep. Nothing. But as soon as he spoke, as soon as he said, hey, sheep, you know, here they come, because they hear his voice. It's neat, isn't it, to think about that? Jesus is showing them the proof is in the fact that they know me and they follow me. They will hear his voice, confirming that he is their shepherd. Now, I would like to see that in the similar setting we see in this passage. That'd be neat to have, I don't know, 300 sheep and 100 are somebody's, and 100 come and pull themselves out of the big pile and go to the shepherd. Throughout the Bible, God is referred to as a shepherd. I already mentioned Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. But let me show you a few other places in the Old Testament where this is the case. So you can jot these down. I won't have you turn there because there's four or five I'm going to go to relatively quickly. But Psalms chapter 80 in verse 1, it says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. John MacArthur, he said, perhaps the most endearing and intimate title for Christ is that of shepherd. And I thought, that's so true, that of shepherd. Centuries before the Messiah came, the Old Testament had predicted that he would shepherd his people. Ezekiel chapter 34 in verse 23. It says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now, that's a reference to the Messiah, a descendant of David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Micah prophesied of this as well, that the Messiah, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4, would stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And then in Zechariah, predicting the Messiah's death, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." So God has referred to the shepherd a great deal in the Old Testament. But how do the sheep recognize the shepherd? Think of the great care and concern the shepherd has shown them over the years. You know, think of the trekking up and down the hills to find water and food, calling out to them and redirecting them and guiding them and taking them away from danger and toward warmth and toward safety, leading them out of Egypt and leading them across the Red Sea. This picture of shepherding would begin to resonate, particularly with those who would recognize Jesus for who he was. They knew the history of their people. They knew what God had done for them. What Jesus is saying to them is going to sound very familiar. If someone believes the Word, believes that God is and has revealed himself through the Word of God, that God created them, provided for them, rescued them, directed them, brought them to the promised land, fought for them, this idea of a shepherd is going to begin to just resonate as a wonderful truth. I am the good shepherd. This is the same God who has formed them in their mother's womb. He is the shepherd. That person will recognize Jesus because Jesus is the Word of God become flesh. Everything Jesus says and all that he has done as a shepherd resonates and fulfills all that God has said about himself in the Word for generations. And so he is recognized by those who belong to him. A sheep hears his voice and knows him. Knowing what I was preaching on today, even the songs we were singing, I sense the shepherd of Jesus Christ, the thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that has changed. Jesus was involved in that and that process of drawing you to the point of salvation. And you are his sheep and you hear his voice. He is your shepherd. The text goes on to say that he calls or leadeth his sheep and they follow him. He goes ahead. He goes ahead of them and leads them. More common in Western sheep herding is the sheep dog. You know, the dog will often go before and lead and do that thing. But here, in Bible times particularly, it was the shepherd who would go out ahead of time and went first and led with his voice, and the sheep followed. They know following this shepherd, this voice leads to a good place. This voice leads to nourishment. This voice leads to love and care. This voice leads to having your wounds dressed and your, if you need to be carried, this voice leads to being carried. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't you getting it here that Jesus is your shepherd, the good shepherd? This is in contrast to other shepherds of Israel, leaders who did not lead the people well. Jeremiah chapter 23. Turn here real quick because I want you to see this. Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse 1 to 4. Jesus is referencing those who would be thieves and robbers, who would try to be basically fake shepherds. Jeremiah 23 and verse 1 says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." The shepherds were not caring for the flock, but they were destroying the flock, and they did it by greed. They did it because they wanted to profit somehow and use the sheep for their own personal gain. I was just preparing this, and there was just, in my mind, visible examples of this in today's day and age. Wealthy evangelists, TV evangelists like Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar. Now, don't come harping at me about those guys until you line them up with the Bible and see if what they're saying is right or wrong, because I guarantee you, it's mostly wrong. And that would be a good example of trying to profit off of the sheep. The shepherds were not caring for the flock. Isaiah 56 and verse 10, it says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark." This is pretty harsh words, is it not? Isaiah 56 verse 10, it says, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. They're like dumb dogs. That's pretty harsh language for these thieves and robbers who would break forth to steal that were not Jesus. Jesus is the true and good shepherd. Jesus is the door. This is referring to those who would break in and try to steal. They're good at being lazy and slumbering and consuming and using the people. Biblically, it's sort of like the leaders in the book of John who grilled that blind man. Remember, Jesus healed the blind man and he was able to see. And the Pharisees were like, "How did this happen to you? How are you able to see? Isn't this the guy that was blind?" And they call his parents. Say, "Go get his mom and dad, bring them in." And mom and dad come in and they say, "Well, you know, he's of age, ask him yourself. He was blind, he was our son, and he was blind, and now he can see." And they grilled him several times, and they were looking for a reason to attack Jesus for doing this. And he simply said, "I told you and you didn't hear. All I know is that I once was blind and now I see." They were trying to harp on that and to get Jesus and to take care of the issue. And so the Lord, he took on flesh. He shepherded his people. He became the true shepherd. Lots of examples in Scripture of those who tried other ways. You see, we follow Jesus because he is the good shepherd. We also follow him because he is the door to eternal life. He is the door. Verse 7 of our text in chapter 10, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And the Lord is using the physical imagery of pasture, a place of food and freedom and safety, to describe the spiritual reality of life with God. The spiritual truth of that sort of sustenance and that sort of fulfillment in a life with God, the good shepherd, dwelling in his pasture. This is in contrast to the false teachers who have come before. There were plenty of messiahs that came before Jesus. People who stirred up the crowds, who sought fame and sought to lead a rebellion against Rome, and many times simply led the people to slaughter. Remember it was Gamaliel in the book of Acts when Peter and John had done the healing and they were brought before the council and they were going to, you know, stone them. But Gamaliel stood up and said, just wait a minute, because we've seen people like this before, and they've raised up a following, and it's been of naught, and they've either dispersed or been killed. But if it be of God, what can we do? So it makes me think of that when they are trying for us to recognize this contrast of false teachers and Jesus. There were lots of false teachers. There were lots of false messiahs that tried to lead out, and they came to naught. Jesus is saying, I am not that. I am the door. I am the true. I am the good shepherd. Jesus himself warns in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And that's like what we see, you know, cartoons they poke fun of this by putting a wolf in a sheep flock with a sheepskin over, right? So it kind of looks like a sheep. Well, I get that picture from Scripture, right? That's exactly what he is warning us against. In recent history, there are many leaders like Hitler and Stalin and Mao, who arose to power seeking to serve and strengthen the people, but in the end, they used and fleeced and betrayed and slaughtered the people. Watch out for people like that. There are so many modern day messiahs, past and people that will promise to fulfill us and protect us and satisfy us, but only want to use us and only want our money. That's why it's so important to understand that there is only one door to salvation. If you hear nothing else today, hear this one statement. Jesus Christ is exclusive. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. If there's one thing that we can focus on and be sure of, is that Jesus is the only way. Maybe that resonates with a crowd like this today, but it will shock the world in which we live, won't it? Because they don't like the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. They like the option of other ways to heaven or the option of other things to inherit heaven and just being good and I'm a good person and I help poor people and I go out and do this and that. And they want to rely on that for salvation. And Jesus said, no, I am the door. I am the only way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to life after death. There's only one door. The people would understand the physical sheep gate only had one door. The pasture that they're talking about, the sheep fold, it has one door, and it is kept by the gatekeeper, the porter. There's no other way. Jesus saith unto them in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's reaffirmed in Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, where it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, or given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You know that verse. Sorry, I butchered it. There's no other name whereby we must be saved under heaven than Jesus Christ. So there's one way, one door, one name. But that one way leads to so very much. As a matter of fact, it leads to the abundant life. Look at verse 11 of our text. Is that the one that says abundant? Yo, verse 10, sorry. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Doesn't stop there, does it? And that they might have it more abundantly. That word abundant means sufficient and over, more than sufficient, above and beyond. Just as the crumbs of Jesus are more than enough, there was more than enough bread and fish left over when Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus is saying to the people, what he provides as the good shepherd is abundancy, is more than enough. He can satisfy your greatest longings. Think about that for just a moment. In fact, I will ask you to consider your greatest desires right now. What is your greatest desire in life? You want to have a meaningful job. You want to have a fun group of friends who care and support you. You want a family that's devoted to one another, kids that love the Lord and are growing, a church family that you fulfill your God-given responsibilities with, satisfaction in life and in doing things. You want sweet and enjoyable relaxation. What is it that you desire the most? You want to have pleasure as well as excitement. You want all you can get out of life. Not just a good life, but you want an abundant life. Well, Jesus is the one who provides that legitimate, abundant life. I often think of that verse that tells us about how the world does have these joys, perhaps, or these fun things that will last for just a season. How many of you have tried that, you know, gone out and enjoyed the things of the world for a season, but it leaves lacking? It doesn't provide the fulfillment that you truly desire and truly want. Jesus himself is more than all your desires in life wrapped up and multiplied by 100 million. Jesus is more than that. He is your fulfillment because everything good you want can only truly come from the good shepherd. But we think we think that the grass is greener on the other side. We think, man, I'm missing something. We can lead ourselves based on our desires, but that's a problem. We think, well, there's pleasure in sexual immorality, or there's pleasure in the drama of gossip, or manipulating people to get things done, or people being afraid of us and we having power, and we try all these things, greed and gluttony, and we think that they're going to satisfy, but they never do. They always leave us wanting more, and all other false messiahs lead to death and destruction. You see, here's the scary thing we need to contemplate. Perhaps it's not scary if you know Christ, but if you don't know Christ, not believing who Jesus is and trusting him as the way, as the truth, as the life, is a license to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible tells us about it. It's eternal death. My friend, Jesus Christ provided salvation for you. I hope that you have placed your faith and trust in him and in him alone. I'm so thankful that Jesus loves me, as the song said. Thank you for giving to the Lord, because I am a life that is changed by Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary and lived a perfectly sinless life and took my sin and your sin, the sins of the past, the sins of the present, the sins of the future. He took that upon himself, and he paid the price for it. He died on the cross, and he did that with you and I on his mind. And by faith in that sacrifice and trusting in what Jesus did in that payment, we can have eternity in heaven forevermore. And he becomes our good shepherd. Jesus is calling his sheep to follow him. And his sheep hear his voice and trust him to take them to pasture. Whose voice, whose word do you respond to? Think about it. Is it your own? Is it your friends? Is it our culture? Say, I don't even say that so flippantly, because those are very legitimate issues in life today. People are, your family's pulling you one way. Your friends are pulling you one way. Culture is pulling you another way. And we have all these voices that are seeking to pull us this way or that, but we need to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, who is wanting to lead you and guide you, and if you will follow him, will lead you to the abundant life, because he is the Good Shepherd. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John often refers to that lay down his life. That phrase is found many times, and frequently throughout the Gospels for that matter. And as I said earlier, a shepherd like David would risk his life and was very brave and very noble for what he did for the sheep. But there's nothing like Jesus, who will lay down his life voluntarily for the sheep. He does this purposefully. It is a purposeful thing to save the sheep who are in mortal danger. He dies instead of deserts. Perhaps some of you are business owners in here this morning, and there is something about ownership that makes you more dedicated. You could have an outstanding employee. You could have a wonderful worker. But at the end of the day, that wonderful worker checks out, right? Punches out. But you're the business owner. You don't punch out. You don't have that option. You are tied to the success of the business. You have an investment in the business, one that is tied to you personally. You don't check out at the end of the day like an employee. Even the best of employees are still an hireling. There's nothing like being the owner of the business. My friend, Jesus owns the sheep, and he does not check out on his sheep. There's a hireling, perhaps good people that can help you and guide you, but there's nothing like the owner of the sheep, Jesus Christ. The spiritual reality is that Jesus cares about you like no one else can or ever will. Jesus cares about you that much. I often use this phrase that I feel like sometimes Jesus just wraps his arms around me. And I really want to just physically feel that. But folks, I feel that sometimes so spiritually. It just feels like literally he's hugging me, because he loves me. There's nothing like climbing up in his lap, knowing that you've messed up, knowing that you're a sinner, and knowing that he is a father who is burdened for his child and loves his child and wants to nourish his child and lead him to pasture that will provide an abundant life. It is an intimate love. He demonstrated that by laying down his life so that you can have the abundant life. Jesus is not simply doing his job. He knows you intimately. He knows every hair on your head. That's a lot of hair in here this morning. But he knows how much hair is on your head and mine. Who does that? Except someone who cares for you intimately, who owns you and purchased you with his own blood. He knows your every weakness. He knows all the times you have honored him and will honor him. He knows all the times you will fail him and sin against him. He knows all of that about you. And he loves you. And he is your good shepherd. He knows those who were lost. Jeremiah chapter 50 in verse 6, he says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." He knows you and he cares for you and is on a rescue mission for his sheep. He's good and he wants to lead you to rest. You know, it's the love and compassion that he expresses here is even further than we learn in verse 15 or verse 16. Unless this is great. Verse 16 says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. His priority was those people, but he has other sheep from other folds. And can we say, praise God for that? You know, we are the sheep from other folds. We are the Gentiles. We're not God's chosen people in the sense that we're the Jews, but God has other sheep which he's going on a mission to find. And you and I are beneficiaries of that. We follow Jesus because he's the good shepherd. He is the door. He lays down his life for his sheep. And finally this morning, we follow him because he is sent by God the Father himself. "Therefore," in verse 17, "doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Verse 19 says there was a division. Well, we won't get into that just for a second. I want to focus on this one part. "I received this commandment of my Father." The point is, Jesus is communicating who he is through this shepherd metaphor. And I think it's a beautiful picture, and I love it. And how the sheep hear his voice and follow him. And he combines this with the truth that he is God in the flesh, the promised Messiah, the Son of Man, the shepherd. And he proves this again by showing his relationship with the Father. And he listens to the Father and follows the Father's plan for the shepherd to lay down his life for his sheep, to call them, to lay it down for them, and to lead them to eternal pasture. This relationship Jesus has with the Father is based on love and obedience. We're to follow Jesus, to love and trust and obey him. Just as Jesus has a perfect relationship and love and obedience with the Father, so are we to enter that relationship and function as sheep in obedience and trust and love to the Father. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Remember that he illustrates that in John chapter 21 when he almost irritates Peter or grieves Peter because he says, "Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter says, "Yes." What does Jesus say? "Feed my sheep, obey me." He asks again, "Lovest thou me?" "Yes." "Feed my sheep." He asks a third time, "Lovest thou me?" "Peter, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." "Then what?" "Feed my sheep." Obey him. Follow him. He commands three times. He commands him three times after asking that question. He connects that each time to, if Peter loves him, then feed his sheep. "If you love me, keep my commandments." As Jesus is calling his sheep, one of the way we know we are his sheep is if we listen to his voice. And we follow him and obey him and trust him. A good question for everyone to ask of themselves this morning is, am I his sheep? Is there evidence in my life that I follow what he says? I think it goes without saying, but I want to be careful, so I'm saying it anyway. It doesn't mean that you're perfect in every way, okay? It doesn't mean that you're sin-free, but you can point to evidence in your life where you are following Jesus. A good evidence of that is that you're here this morning. You know, the Bible encourages attendance and fellowship with the believers. We're to be together. There's something to say for being a part of the family of God. But you can be here and still not be one of his sheep. Maybe you just come because somebody pressured you into being here, or you want people to think you're saved and you're truly not. Is there evidence in your life that you are following the Lord? Do you listen to him? If you don't listen to him, if you don't follow him, if you don't hear him, it's very reasonable for you to make sure you're saved or not. Double check your salvation. I'm always careful. I don't want any Christian to doubt their salvation, but I know this. The closer you get to the Lord, there's no doubt about your salvation. So if you're doubting your salvation, and you can point to a time in your life where you've placed your faith and trust in God, then you need to walk more with the Lord. You need to get in his word. You need to obey what he has said and laid out in Scripture. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. That's trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, we also follow him because he has the power to lead us and to protect us, not just from lions and tigers and bears, oh my, but from death as well. He is victor over death. He has the authority to lay down his life and take it up again. Nobody can claim that except God himself. This is a claim to deity. Here I got goosebumps in my long sleeves and suit coat just thinking about it. He can lay down his life and pick it up again. In fact, he did that because he loves you. He did that because you are his sheep. And if you're a believer this morning, it's good to ask, do I connect my love for God to my everyday life where I follow him and obey him, leading me and guiding me and seeking to trust him? Do you respond to correction quickly and humbly and focus on following him? You see Jesus as the one with authority, or do you want to be the one who leads yourself? Now, I know the battle of the flesh, don't we all? You know, there's temptation to follow our own way. Jesus said unto the disciples in Matthew chapter 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's about trusting and following the good shepherd, because he laid down his life for his sheep at the cross and he picked it up back again voluntarily. You know, that stone was rolled away just as a visible for you and I. You know, he didn't have to roll that stone away. He could have gotten out of there. In fact, probably did without the door being rolled open, right? It's just for us to see that he has power over death and he has power over life. He is the true shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the door to eternal life. And now, after Jesus says all of this, they begin to argue. They always did. This guy has a devil. This is not right. Something's wrong with this fella. But others are asking, well, how can a devil heal people? Jesus is demonstrating that he is good, that he heals, that he gives life and sacrifices for others rather than uses others. He was sent to heal the spiritually blind. But we know that the devil destroys, that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, where Jesus is the good shepherd, seeking not to kill and use, but to lay down his life for his sheep and guide them to pasture, to pleasantries of life. Now, not a difficulty-free life, but a life of peace and joy, a life of knowing ultimately where our lives will end, where we will be in heaven or hell. I say all of those things. You know, the Bible does say he's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I always feel like when I say that, I don't want to discount struggles that we face in life. But I know this, as many of us have struggles and have faced difficulties, I hope that you know that presence of Jesus as the good shepherd in your life while you're suffering, while you're going through the difficulty. I've never, ever felt that in my life like I did when my dad died unexpectedly. I mean, he was my father. He was our pastor. He was so many things and was sick and 3 weeks later in heaven. And I thought, how are we ever going to get through this? But you know what? Jesus helped me. He was a good shepherd. He picked me up. He guided me, my mom, my family. He guided us because he loves us and he cares for us. And what should be the darkest time in the eyes of someone of this world was a time of great walking with God, was great peace. It was evidence to me of an abundant life like I'd never seen it before, the ability to maneuver that kind of grief and loss and just to be able to trust the Lord in that. Just as the author of Hebrews says, and we'll close with this, Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I pray that today, if you're not saved, that you will not harden your heart, but that you will respond to the call to turn from your own righteousness and to place your faith in him, the shepherd of your soul. And if you have trusted him as Lord and Savior this morning, I pray you will daily humble yourself, because you have to, that you will daily humble yourself and continue to follow him and your testimony direct others to him. Would you stand this morning for a moment? I'm going to have John come to the piano, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to do two things this morning. Number one, I want you to know if there's never been a time in your life when you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, please don't leave this place without getting that settled. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. We all could, one of us could die at the drop of a hat. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, please get that settled. And Christian, are you listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Oh, you heard it when he called you to salvation, and that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But are you continuing to seek the voice of the Good Shepherd, the one who wants to lead you to water, the one who wants to lead you to food, the one who wants to lead you to the abundant, safe life, safe in his arms, where the shepherd can protect you in battle, can aid you in difficulty? Are you following that shepherd? Won't you come this morning, spend time in prayer with him, bow where you're at if you need to. Say, Lord, help me see you and hear you as the Good Shepherd. I've been doing things my own way too long. My own way always messes me up. I want to follow you. I want to be a testimony. I want to be a witness. There's lots of false prophets out there, my friend. We need to be careful who we're listening to. We need to be careful who we're allowing to influence us. Perhaps there's someone out there that's quite influential and you've learned a lot from them. That's great. Do they line up with Scripture? Did you check to see what God the Father had to say in his word? Let's not be misled. Satan is sneaky. He is known for his deceit. By the way, we also deceive ourselves sometimes, don't we? Follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I know many are visiting family for the holidays and things of that nature. But let me just say a couple things by way of announcement. We are going to have our lunch to follow. There's lots of pies down there, so stay and have a slice. Even if you can't stay for the afternoon part, enjoy some food and fellowship before you leave. And then we'll meet back up here about 12:15 for a Thanksgiving service. We also need, I sent out an email. If you're not on my email list, please let me know, and I will find a way to get this information to you. But we're trying to put together baskets this week for First Responders Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today. So next Saturday, the Joy Group is meeting at 10:30 here to assemble these baskets that we have, and we're going to distribute those next Saturday at 1:30 and 4 o'clock. So if you can help with one of those time slots, please let me know, because I'm going to try to get that all together this week. And also, we need items brought in for these baskets that we're doing. And we sent out a list of helpful things that we have found first responders to have need of. Chapstick, throat lozenges, pocket-sized tissue, powder Gatorade, mints, individually wrapped candies, specialty coffee, Clorox wipes, the travel size, protein bars, things of that nature. And then, of course, baked goods as well. Some of you have already signed up for. So we need all of those things. We have lack of all that so far. So if you can bring anything like that, please let me know. We need it by Friday here at the church. That way we have an assessment. And if we need to go and buy a few other things Friday night or Saturday morning, we can do that. to assemble the rest of the thing. So please participate in this. We want to be a blessing to those folks, and it's a way for you to be involved in ministry as well. Happy birthday this week to Sheila Lister on the 12th, Sharon Coleman on the 14th, Rhea Roswell on the 15th, Emma Urin on the 15th, and then Baron Roswell also on the 15th. How old is Baron going to be now? Three. Wow. That's incredible. Well, let's sing happy birthday as a way to dismiss this afternoon or this morning. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for being the good shepherd, the true shepherd. Help us to follow you. Lord, would you bless our time this afternoon, bless the food and the fellowship. And Lord, we're just so thankful to be your children, and we ask that you bless today. In Jesus' name.